Before we head into today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast, we just wanted to ask a rather profound question. What's the most important piece of equipment in the game of cricket? Is it your bats, your pads, your helmet, your spikes? Now, all of those are very apt choices indeed. But as a bowler myself, I would argue that the most important piece of equipment in the game is, of course, the cricket ball, which leads me beautifully into a message from today's sponsors, Manscaped. As is the case in both cricket and indeed wider life in general, it's always important to take good care of your balls. And with the Performance Package 4.0, complete with the Lawnmower 4.0, the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer, Crop Preserver Ball Deodorants, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and even a handy travel bag, you'll have absolutely everything you need to keep your equipment in tip-top shape. Now, to find the Performance Package 4.0, as well as a whole host of other male grooming products, simply head over to manscaped.com, use the discount code TCCP20 for 20% off all of your purchases, and they'll even throw in free worldwide shipping just for you. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. So once again, a massive thank you to our brand new partners at Manscaped for sponsoring this episode of the County Cricket Podcast. And without further ado, let's head into today's show. Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and joining me on my left for today's special episode of TCCP is none other than aspiring cricket journalist and fan of Yorkshire County Cricket Club, Mr. Kieran McCarthy. So Kieran, first things first, mate, thank you very much for joining me here on the show today. Obviously, it's an absolute pleasure to get you on for a chat about all things county cricket. I have to ask, mate, how's your day been so far?
Yeah, not too bad. Can't say I've done a lot. Just generally been nursing the sunburn that I got at Headingley on Sunday.
Fair enough, Kieran. Yeah, it's been very, very hot at the moment, hasn't it, here in England and Wales? We say that as Englishmen, probably for people outside of the UK, 25, 26 isn't actually that hot, but it does take a toll, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially when you're sat with no sun cream on for about 8 hours, which, rookie mistake, but you know, you live and learn.
You do, although it's funny you mention that. I was at Wanted Road for the Championship this week, and the forecast was all rain, and then it started getting really intensely hot. So I had no sun cream, I've got sunburn as well, so yeah, we're both in the same camp, to be honest, Kieran. But enough about the British weather, because to be honest, again, we could have the entire episode discussing that and the intricacies and the fallacies of the British weather. Always a talking point, isn't it, in this country? But no, instead we are, of course, here to talk about the 2022 Vitality T20 Blast. Now, for those of you who haven't listened to the show before, we start with the North Group. We look through the tables. We look through the standout batting performances, bowling performances, standout under 25 players, and of course, our game of the week. And then we'll wrap up today's show with the South Group and do our analysis of the games which took place over the course of the last 7 days. So let's start with the North Group, seeing as both of us support Northern teams, Kieran. Me being a Warwickshire fan, yourself being a Yorkshire fan. And yep, Talking of the Bear and Ragged staff, we have to start with a certain Bears player for standout batting performance of the week. Adam Hose, 110 not outs in the Bears versus Pears derby. He came to the crease with Warwickshire in absolutely all sorts of issues. Alex Davis and Sam Hain being dismissed by Mitchell Stanley very, very early on. The Bears were 3-2 on the Sky Sports cameras in a must-win game in the second city. And then Adam Hose, out of absolutely nowhere, just starts teeing off. 4-4, 6-6. Anything on the leg side was absolutely dispatched with disdain. And Kieran, I have to ask, actually, as a neutral, I suppose, in this game, I'm not sure if you would have seen the game or not, maybe the highlights that followed since, just how impressive was this knock from Adam Hose?
Yeah, I wasn't watching, but I have seen some of the highlights of the knock. Just an unreal innings. That is obviously what I was going to go for as well for the Northern batter of the week. You know, one of the standout innings of the week. And really after, obviously, he hit the 110 not out, but that was after, I think it's 63 not out in the game earlier on in the week, just showing like different levels to his game, one of which where, you know, you're in a tight chase and one, he's just piling on runs for fun. Yeah, just unreal.
Absolutely. To be honest, Kieran could not have put that much better myself. Unreal. What a word to describe Adam Hose. And he's just having a fantastic summer so far. If we look at the stats, the fourth leading run scorer in the T20 Blast so far with 471 runs, average of 67.28 and a strike rate of 175.09. He has been an absolute revelation for the Bears in this year's competition. And again, just the shots, the variety, they are absolutely fantastic to watch as a cricket fan. And the shot that he brought up to bring up his century was exquisite. A lovely big six dispatched into the RAS Wyatt stand. Edgbaston went up in absolute ecstasy. It was a fantastic night for the Bears, of course, running absolute riot over their West Midlands rivals, Worcestershire, by 144 runs. The biggest victory by runs in T20 Blast history. And Adam Hose's 110 not outs was a massive, massive reason behind that. So, batting performance of the week. Kieran, we are in agreement. Adam Hose, take a bow. Absolutely scintillating, to say the very least. But aside from batting performance then, let's move on to bowling performance. And Kieran, I'll start with you first for this category. Who did you select as your standout bowler from the North Group in this week's round of games?
There weren't all too many that stood out for me when I was looking down the scorecards. There are a couple that you could argue. Danny Briggs is 4 for 25 against Worcestershire again. You could go for. I'm possibly being biased towards Yorkshire here, but I've gone for Don Besser's 3 for 15. His career best T20 figures. Obviously from four overs and going at less than four and over as a spinner in a T20, not a bad go. And he'd already taken a couple wickets in the earlier game in the week. And he's not actually been that great this season. I think he's only taken like eight wickets, but to take five in the same week and go 3 for 15 in one game stood out to me, to be honest.
Fair enough. A nice choice, to say the very least, going for economy over just pure wickets.
Yeah.
Again, Don Bess, a good shout. And obviously, as a fellow spin bowler, right arm offy, absolutely no qualms and no questions there at all. Glad to see the spinners getting some love and attention on this week's episode of the County Cricket Podcast. But you alluded to it there. Danny Briggs is 4 for 25. And obviously, the bowling performance in itself was sensational. It really was. Some massive wickets, the likes of Colin Munro, Dwayne Bravo, he got Kashif Ali out as well, Gareth Roderick. Those were the four wickets. But the real key thing, the standouts, and the thing to take away really from this performance is the wider picture. Danny Briggs is the all-time leading wicket taker in the T20 Cup here in England and Wales. He's taken 203 wickets, the first player in T20 Blast history to surpass the 200 wicket mark. And you just look at the average, 21.33. and an economy rate of 7.20. And Kieran, this is the big question from the North Group for this week. Is Danny Briggs the most underrated spin bowler in England and Wales right now in white ball cricket?
Possibly so, yeah. I mean, he got quite a bit of recognition sort of earlier on in his career. But the longevity to be the only person to have taken more than 200, and just to keep going and do it season upon season, just really underrated and a really good asset for Birmingham to have.
He most certainly is, and again, he's not a massive turner of the ball, is he, Danny Briggs? It's not like when we look at wrist spinners and they're going, you know, with the googly and the top spinners and they're turning the ball around corners. He's just really controlled, really disciplined. Again, just utilises all of that experience that he's got over the years to great effect. And honestly, the spin tandem in Warwickshire right now with Danny Briggs and Jake Lintott is absolutely box office. So, yeah, Danny Briggs, I think we are in agreement. Although Don Bess is a very good honourable mention as well. I will say, Kieran, that's a good shout.
Yeah.
I think we'll go with those two as our standout bowlers from the North Group this week. But moving aside from standout performances then, let's go on to our under-25 player of the North Group this week. And this is going to be very, very interesting because for me personally, Kieran, I've got it between three players. I've got it between Dan Mousley from the Birmingham Bears. I've got it from Mitchell Stanley from Worcestershire. I know that people might look at the scorecard and go, oh, well, he conceded a load of runs. But the delivery to Alex Davis was an absolute peach. And then he got Sam Hain out for a golden duck as well, which is not an easy feat at all. Yeah. And then my third and final pick is actually from your county, Matt Revis. I think he had a very, very underrated week in this week's round of fixtures. So in terms of standout young player, who would you go for this week, Kieran? I'd love to know.
I've actually gone for one that you haven't said.
We'll go on.
Saif Zaib.
Oh, that's a fantastic shout.
They lost both of the games this week, Northants, but he hit 92 against Derbyshire and then 74 against Birmingham. And it did actually look in that game for a little while like Birmingham weren't going to get there. And obviously, Zaib, among others, gave Northants the platform there. But more so the 92. And this season, he's just been just really good. I think more than half of his career T20 runs have come this season, if I'm correct, or maybe I've done my maths wrong, I'm not sure, but he's hit quite a lot of runs and hasn't particularly done that many times before in his career. So that would be my pick for the under-25 player.
It's funny you mentioned Saif. He's in the next category for me. I've got him as the player of the week. Spoiler alert. By the way, listeners, I thought he was absolutely sensational. But you mentioned the season he's had so far. For Northants, 308 runs at an average of 38. But the real key thing here, the strike rate, 152.47. Mm-hmm. And yes, he was dropped very early on in that game against the Bears at Wantage Road. But didn't he make them pay? He really is such a destructive and capable finisher, isn't he? For that Steelbacks outfit.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think he's the second highest scorer for Northants this season behind, obviously, Chris Lynn, who can hit a cricket ball quite far. So to be second to Chris Lynn, I think you'd snatch anybody's hand off for that.
Absolutely. He's been absolutely brilliant. And the other thing about Saif as well, I'm not going to make the pun about Saif hands, but he is a fantastic fielder. He really is so energetic. He cuts down the angle to the ball nice and quickly. And we've seen him pull off some fantastic saves and catches over the years in a Northants shirt. So Saif, great shout there, Kieran. So you know what? We'll go with Saif. But I just have to mention Dan Mousley, 53, as well, in the derby. And in particular, three sweep shots. Two of them went for six. One of them was a reverse sweep for four to bring up his half century. All of them against Moeen Ali, an international quality spin bowler. You know, to come out when the lights are on you, you've got the pressure, you've got the expectations of around about 17,000 people at Edgbaston. I thought Dan the Man was absolutely brilliant in the second city this week. So we'll go with Saif Zaib, and I'll go with Dan Mousley, I think, as our honourable mention for under-25 player in the North Group this week.
It's fair.
But aside from under-25 player then, let's move on to player of the week. I have already given mine away, so apologies, listeners. Yeah, I kind of did let the cat out of the bag early on that one. I went with Saif Zaib. I'd also give Adam Hose a massive mention for that 63 not out and the 110 not out in the derby. Have you gone for someone different, Kieran? Or have you selected one of those two?
Yeah, I did go for Adam Hose. I thought that's where you were going to go as well. Trying not to be biased, of course. But yeah, the passing 50 twice, both not outs. As I said earlier, one, quite a tight chase that initially looked like a tough task, and then just absolutely piling runs on for fun, just, you know, teeing off. That would be my shout.
Fair enough. Kieran, there was a reason I didn't actually go with Adam Hose this week, and it is because obviously we have six categories here for those who don't know how the show works for each group. Warwickshire are very, very heavily featured in this week's show, and I didn't want to be accused of too much bias, so that is why I went with Saif Zaib. But obviously, in the heart of hearts, Adam Hose, he's just been absolutely unbelievable so far this summer. Fingers crossed for Bears fans that he can keep up this hot streak heading into the knockout rounds, because if he does, goodness me, he's so hard to stop. He really is. The versatility, the array of shots, the plethora of different scoring options that Adam Hose possesses against both spin and seam, are next level. They really are. And in my opinion, he needs more recognition. That's all I'll say. Yeah. But Adam Hose and Safe Sabe, both excellent weeks, both worthy players of the week, to be completely honest. And yeah, fingers crossed that for their respective sides, they can, of course, keep up this momentum heading into the next round of T20 Blast fixtures. But talking of the Bears then, and Kieran, I just know already there's going to be a load of listeners out there, and I do apologise, because they're going to be rolling their eyes right now as we go on to our standout team of the week. But of course, I have selected the Birmingham Bears, or Warwickshire, as we know them here in Shakespeare's County. To win both of those games, this was a massive week for Warwickshire. They had to win at least one. If they won two, they'd all but secured that quarterfinal berth. And they went and broke a record in both games. They chased 213 on Wednesday at Wanted Road, a record for the club. And then we spoke about it earlier, 144-run win, the highest margin in T20 Blast history, let alone 2022. In 20 years of the competition, that is the biggest win by number of runs in the T20 Blast. And to do it in a local derby as well, on the Sky Sports cameras, where it's been immortalised now forever in those YouTube highlights, it doesn't get much better than that. So, Kieran, would you go with the Bears, or has another team taken your interest in this week's round of fixtures?
No, I have also gone for Birmingham. Obviously, Yorkshire won both of their games this week as well. But just the ways in which Birmingham won theirs, obviously chasing down a big total, didn't even have to take it to the last over, did it inside 19 overs, and then hitting 228 and bowling Worcestershire out for 84. I don't think you can particularly have much of a better week than that. So, yeah, I have also gone for Birmingham.
Well, there you go, folks. It's not just the cricket connoisseur going with the Bears this week. That's what we like to hear. So, a fantastic week for the Bears. And isn't the North Group absolutely beautifully set up now, as we'll discuss in due course when we look at the tables? But we have got some massive games this week. And we've actually mentioned two sides which are taking each other on Friday, the 1st of July at Headingley. The Yorkshire Vikings and the Birmingham Bears, in what could prove to be absolutely pivotal in determining the top spot in the North Group. So, Kieran, I think we're both going to go with our respective teams. Okay, I think you're going to go with the Yorkshire win. I'm going to go with the Bears win. But in terms of that game, it's a massive game, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I think a lot of it depends on whether or not Harry Brooke gets released or isn't playing in the test match that obviously starts on Friday. You wouldn't have thought he would be after Johnny Bairstow was just, you know, chucked England on his back over the last couple of weeks and just Bazball in full effect. But yeah, obviously Yorkshire have released him for the last few fixtures, and he's done not quite as well as he did at the start of the season, but still in very good form. So yeah, should be a very good game. And obviously, you know, Birmingham, if one of Hayne or Hose doesn't get you, then Davis, Benjamin, Mousley, the talent is everywhere in that team.
100%. It's going to be an absolutely fantastic game of cricket. Can't wait to go to Headingley as well. I'll be there on Friday for the very first time. So fingers crossed that we do see some very good cricket. I don't think the forecast looks too bad either. So yeah, hopefully we just get to see a game between those two excellent sides. And talking of another two sides, which are still in the mix, maybe not for the top two, but for the top four, are Leicestershire and Northants. Now, these two sides face off against one another on the 1st of July as well at Grace Road. This is a massive game. If Northants lose this, they're all but out of the competition. So, Kieran, this is the million-dollar question for this week's game, I suppose. If you had to pick a winner between the Leicestershire Foxes and the Northamptonshire Steelbacks, who would you select?
It's tough because Northants have obviously just been leapfrogged by Yorkshire to go into fourth place after losing to them. But as we have said, Saif Sahib in very good form, Chris Lynn in very good form. I think Chris Lynn on his own is a player that can just take the game away. So conservatively, I could just go, I don't know, but I would probably say Northants, yeah.
Well, for the sake of the show, I'm going to go with the Leicestershire Foxes then. I think it's going to be very interesting. And of course, when we think of the wider ramifications, if the Foxes do win, it just gets blown apart all over again, doesn't it? It really is going to be a fantastic end to the North Group in 2022. So we'll have to wait and see. I'll go with the Foxes. Kieran, you're going with the Steelbacks. Only time will tell, but that is going to be a fantastic encounter, to say the very least. And talking of the table then, before we head on to our South Group analysis, let's have a look at the North Group heading into the final round of fixtures in the 2022 T20 Blast group stage. So as of this recording, at the top of the North Group are the Birmingham Bears on 16 points with a net run rate of 1.316. And if my maths is correct, that is the highest net run rate in county cricket right now. So yeah, the Bears all but securing their place in the quarterfinals for now. In seconds, also on 16 points, are the Lancashire Lightning. In third are the Derbyshire Falcons on 16 points as well. In fourth, with two games still to play, are the Yorkshire Vikings on 15 points. In fifth are the Northamptonshire Steelbacks on 14 points. In sixth, and still in the mix, mathematically speaking, are the Leicestershire Foxes on 12 points. In seventh are the Nottinghamshire Outlaws on 11 points. In eighth are Durham on 7 points. And in ninth and bottom place in the North Group are the Worcestershire Rapids on just 3 points. So it is very much all to play for in the North. Anything can happen. And that is the beauty of the T20 Blast. It's unpredictable. It's enigmatic. Absolutely any scenario could play out heading into this weekend. So we wait and watch with anticipation. That top four can be made of any variety of teams. And yeah, I do think it's going to be an absolutely fantastic conclusion to action in the North Group in 2022. But aside from the North then, Kieran, let's head down south. Let's go to the South Group, because it wasn't just brilliant action in the North this week. We've also seen some amazing performances by Southern teams over the course of the past 7 days. And in terms of standout batting performance, I will be shocked if we disagree with this, considering the class of this particular innings. Did you go for a knock by a certain James Vince of Hampshire?
Yes, it would be very difficult to disagree with that, yeah.
Absolutely. 129 out from 62 balls against Somerset in Taunton, and some of the shots as well. Bear in mind that he smashed 10 sixes and 9 fours over the course of that innings. And for those who haven't watched the highlights, watch the highlights. And you can even watch it without the visuals. Just listen to the crack of the bat. And it was just the way in which he was targeting the short boundaries at Taunton and absolutely rifling. Anything that was too full was being dispatched for a minimum of 4, if not 6. He was absolutely disdainful with his dispatching of the cricket ball at the Cooper Associates County Ground. And in terms of James Vince's summer so far, just looking at his stats, he is the current leading run scorer in the 2022 Vitality T20 Blast with 543 runs, an average of 60.33 and a 148.36 strike rate. If we also look at his career totals as well, that was his fourth career T20 century, which is quite staggering. I mean, some players don't even get one, and James Vince has now got 4 of them. Kieran, just a few words on James Vince, because we do like to talk about him here on the podcast. Again, the words class, elegance, panache, any of which you could use to describe the great man in action. Just how good is James Vince to watch as a cricket fan when he is performing in this vein of form?
I think the main word to describe him would just be class. Like the range of shots. Obviously, when he was in the test side, he got a bit of stick for getting a well-made 30 or whatever and then nicking off. But obviously, in the same vein as Zach Crawley, that he's always looking to play a nice drive. And when he does, it comes out quite nice, doesn't it? And I think the fact, just the gears to his game, I think the first 50 of that 100 came in 36 balls, relatively quick. And then the second, I believe, was about 15. So just carried on going, obviously seeing it like a beach ball. And he and Tom Prest were both, I think when Vince got to 60, Prest was also in the 60s. And then he just carried on going, obviously pressed, got out and just continued and hit Hampshire's highest ever T20 blast score. So yeah, really good knock.
Well, it was indeed. And to be honest, for the Hampshire Hawks as well, this vein of form that James Vince is in could not have come at a better time. They had such a poor start to the blast in 2022, and all of a sudden, they're sitting in the quarterfinal spots. In fact, destiny is pretty much in their own hands at this point yet again, just as it was in 2021. So, James Vince, we could talk about him all night. He's just such a fantastic cricketer to watch. He's just brilliant. He's box office. He's someone that you pay your admission fee for. He's just absolutely amazing. So, James Vince is 129 not outs from 62 balls. That is our standout South batting performance of the week for this particular episode of the County Cricket Podcast. But aside from batting then, Kieran, I'm going to be interested to know your choice for this particular bowling performance. But who have you selected as your standout bowler from the South group for this week's round of fixtures?
It is a toss-up between two people. And one of them I have gone for my under 25 player of the week. So I'll shelve that one and I'll go for the other option. Peter Siddle he had two decent games. He had 3 for 42 and then he had 2 for 31. Lost both games, but just purely for the over against Surrey that he took 3 wickets. And the reaction from Will Jacks when I can't remember, Atkinson perhaps.
Gus Atkinson, yeah.
Just like jumping up and down, having a tantrum. Purely for that, for evoking that reaction from Will Jacks, we'll go for Peter Siddle.
I'm a big fan of that shout. And it came out of nowhere, didn't it, that game? Because Surrey were in complete and utter control. Will Jacks, again, he's just been absolutely outstanding in this year's T20 Blast. But they seem to be absolutely cantering along. And then as the overs ticked away, suddenly, all of a sudden, Somerset started clawing their way back into it. And Peter Siddle, he has been very good, hasn't he? In this year's T20 Blast, adding experience. I think he's been good with his change of pace. He's been bowling some brilliant Yorkers as well. And in that particular over, the way in which he wrestled back control and the speeds he was bowling at as well, it was like watching Peter Siddle a decade ago.
Yeah.
It was quite sensational. You could tell he was up for the game between the two top two sides in the South group at the Oval. But I wouldn't go with that particular performance this week, although that is a massive honourable mention, Kieran. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I'm glad you mentioned it because that game was fantastic, wasn't it? Conor McKerr hitting the winning 4 and just absolute scenes of ecstasy at the Oval. Great advert for the county game.
Absolutely, yeah.
To say the very least. But I've gone with Aaron Beard, who I think might be your under 25 player of the week. Yep, I'm not surprised by that at all. For his 4 for 29 against Surrey in Chelmsford. And Kieran, I'm not sure if you actually saw the highlights of this or maybe even watched the game, but the ball to Jason Roy was an absolute rip snorter, wasn't it? Textbook Yorker.
Yeah.
Oh, it was brilliant, wasn't it? For those who haven't seen it, honestly, just put in Essex versus Surrey. Thank us later. It was an absolute beauty from Aaron Beard nice and early on in the power play. And then again, talking of another impressive wickets, fair enough, Aaron was helped out quite massively here by Tom Wesley. But the dismissal of Will Jacks, on the pads it wasn't a great ball, unfortunately, from Mr. Beard, but the catch from Tom Wesley wasn't it?
Yeah, screamer.
Again, we cannot employ enough. Just watch the highlights. Just watch those two dismissals and then come back to the podcast. Absolutely fantastic viewing, to say the least. As if that wasn't enough as well, went and took the wickets of Rory Burns and Tom Laws to complete career best figures of 4 for 29 against the table toppers. In terms of Aaron Beard's bowling, Kieran, what do you think is his real attribute? What is the X factor that Aaron Beard possesses in comparison to other bowlers in the South group?
He's one of them bowlers that I think if you faced him, you would describe as skiddy. That he's quite a short, quick bowler. And I would have thought just rushes the batters, which obviously is a good asset to have. Taking the important wickets of Roy, Jacks and Burns sort of shows he's quite a good bowler.
Well, he most certainly is, and it's funny you mentioned skiddy and difficult to face. He's also got a very potent short ball. I did notice that in particular in the Surrey game, he bangs it in really short and it does rise quite sharply on the batter. So Aaron Beard, I'll go with him for my standout bowling performance. You've gone with Peter Siddle, Kieran, but I think we're both in agreement. Standout under 25 player is Aaron Beard. He was exceptional this week, wasn't he?
Yeah, and to do it against Surrey, who had only lost one game before that, to deal them back-to-back losses and obviously take those important wickets at the top of the order and then further down in the innings as well. Just, yeah, a really good performance.
So it's all we can say, isn't it, to be honest? Just a very good week. Good week for Aaron Beard, good week for the Essex Eagles. And yeah, just what a bowling performance. Again, you do have to just stand there sometimes and tip your hats. Very, very impressive, to say the least. But in terms of our standout player of the week then, aside from our standout young player from the South group, Kieran, I'm really interested to know who your selection is for this, because I was to-ing and fro-ing between a Hampshire player who we've mentioned, James Vince, and a Surrey player, Will Jacks. Who did you select as your player of the week in the South group this week?
I have gone for James Vince just because of the magnitude of that one knock. But I can see why you would say Will Jacks, for obviously carrying his bat against Somerset. Another 50. I can't remember who the next game was against.
Sussex. I was there for that.
And then I think they did three games this week.
Yep. That's one against Essex, scored 26.
Yeah, he got 20 there as well. But obviously, James Vince, just for 129, not out, Hampshire's highest T20 blast score ever. Difficult to overlook, but I can absolutely see why you would go for Will Jacks, yeah.
Well, to be honest, I don't think you can complain about either. Both have been in excellent form, and James Vince, again, I don't want to keep on talking about that innings, but it was amazing. It is one which is going to stand long in the memory of Hampshire fans up and down the country, even across the world, really, because it was an innings of the very highest calibre. But as much as it pains me not to say James Vince, I've got to go with Will Jacks, not just for the 66 and out against Somerset, but I made the journey down to Hove. I needed to tick it off. And my goodness, what a game it was between the Sussex Sharks and Surrey. And Will Jacks was just outstanding, went on to score 76. And again, I spoke about Adam Hose earlier and the plethora of scoring options at his disposal. I'm not sure there are many more powerful players in county cricket than Will Jacks right now. And I know that's a very, very bold statement, to say the very least. But there are a couple of deliveries against George Garton, I think it was, and Henry Crowcombe, where it seemed as though he didn't get a very good connection. And yet the next second, the ball's sailing over the boundary rope for six. So Will Jacks, watch out for him. An absolutely sensational talent. And actually as well, this is a bit off topic, but talking of that game down in Hove, I do just have to give a little bit of a TCCP shout out to the Garrod family, Bex, Phil and Trish. Absolute legends, the three of them. Great hospitality. Made me feel incredibly warm and welcome down on both the South Coast and in South London. So, yeah, just had to give a bit of a mention to those three legends. Unfortunately, Surrey did lose, but
yeah,
again, they made the weekend very, very memorable for myself. And yeah, honestly, very, very thankful, to say the very least. But moving on then to our standout team of the week then, Kieran, from the South group this week. Who are you going to select? I've gone with the Essex Eagles. I went with the Eagles because, well, obviously that massive game against Surrey, that was a big win. But then they also beat Middlesex as well, and they have consolidated their position in the top four in the South. Would you also go with the Eagles, or has another team stood out for you
this week? I'm going a lot of the same teams in a lot of these. I've noticed a theme with that. But I'd gone for Hampshire for a couple of wins, Somerset and then Gloucestershire, hitting 208 in the first. And then obviously you've got each of the top three contributing in each of the games. Obviously, if James Vince doesn't get you, Ben McDermott will. And then Tom Prest is also a cricketer, quite good at it. So, yeah, I have gone for Hampshire.
Fair enough, Kieran. Again, a nice choice. And isn't it weird, actually, with those two teams? Hampshire beat Somerset and Gloucestershire, both in the West Country. And Essex beat both the London sides as well. I do think that's quite a strange coincidence, isn't it? Really, when you think of the geography of it.
Yeah, interesting.
Again, I wonder if there's a stat out there. Has that ever happened before? Who knows? Again, there's probably someone out there who will have those stats, but unfortunately, I don't have them in front of me tonight. But Essex and Hampshire, excellent weeks. Again, we talk about in T20 cricket peaking at the right time. Both of those sides certainly seem to be doing that in 2022. And that brings us beautifully then onto our game of the week, Kieran. And there's quite a few we can choose. There are some big, big clashes in the South Group this week to wrap up the group stage. What have you selected as your game of the week heading into the last couple of games in the South Group?
I will go for Somerset against Surrey down at Taunton. Obviously, both very good batting units, quite a small ground, so should be an interesting game, yeah.
Absolutely, and most certainly will. At the top of the table clash as well, with some really, really powerful batting displays on show. So I've also gone with Somerset Surrey. And talking of Surrey, Kieran, that is an absolutely beautiful transition into our special segment for this week's episode of the County Cricket Podcast. Because earlier today, I sat down with Paul Mooney, one of the founders of Proud Surrey, a supporters group based in South London, to discuss a little bit of a collaboration between Surrey County Cricket Club and Proud Surrey as a supporters group. So without further ado, let's head into the interview. Well, thank you, Future Aaron, for that lovely introduction. Yes, I'm, of course, sat here with Paul Mooney from Proud Surrey. Delighted to have this little collaboration between the County Cricket Podcast and the Proud Surrey Supporters Group. So, Paul, thank you first and foremost for joining us here on the podcast today. Obviously, a massive pleasure to get you on for a chat about all things county cricket. In terms of Proud Surrey as a supporters group, then, what is it that you guys do and what do you actively promote as a supporters group?
We at Proud Surrey, we came about from, as being sat in a room like in a small room in during a pandemic. That's essentially how it happened. And Sam proposed the idea of having an LGBTQ+ supporters group. This was, I was at the time, I was a tour guide and supporter of Surrey. And now I work there full time. But myself and Emily and Ewan, we all joined together and formed the committee. And what we try and do is just promote a fun space for people to come to county cricket games, to international games, to T20, whatever it is. Obviously, 100 isn't. Sorry, but you know, all of the above. We want that safe space. We want that safe space. So that's what we want to do. And so far, we have had such a great backing from the club and the supporters. The Peter May boys have been absolutely brilliant with us. In fact, Doc, who is their one of their head honchos, so to speak, he came to me at the AGM and said, we'd like to offer you a safe space. Not that you really need one, but it's still a very lovely thing for them to do. So that's essentially what we are.
Well, to be honest, Paul, it is absolutely lovely. And you mentioned the Peter May boys. So I had the pleasure of bumping into them at Edgbaston back in April.
They're a glorious bunch, aren't they? They really are.
They are. Again, everything which is fantastic about county cricket is those connections and the relationships that you build, I suppose, within the different clubs and the different counties. And talking of Surrey, as you rightfully said, they have been absolutely fantastic, incredibly supportive with this initiative. And one of the initiatives which is taking place this week on Friday, the 1st of July, is the tie-in game for the match against the Kent Spitfires. So how did that tie-in actually materialise in the first place? And for those who don't know, what is that game and what's so special about it for Proud Surrey?
So Proud Surrey, last year we were muted the idea of having a Pride match. And COVID and various things didn't allow that, and time, if we're honest. And so this year, working with the club, we decided that we would have a T20 match. And we then looked at the calendar and went, oh, well, this one falls on the 1st of July and it's London Pride on the 2nd of July. At the time, there hadn't been another Pride match anywhere in the world. Essex beat us by a week. Part of me, the sporting part of me, the Surrey part of me is furious. But my other part of me, the LGBTQ plus side of me, is going, that's brilliant. I'm really pleased Essex did it. But that's the second time we've been beaten by a week as well. We were going to be the first supporter LGBTQ plus supporters group in the world, but we were beaten by the Unicorns in Sydney by a week as well. So next year's the Ashes, of course. So if they're listening, which I'm sure they are, you know, we'd love them to come over and, you know, have a game and an Ashes, or I suppose a Lashes, we'd call it. But the reason it fell on the idea that the Pride match could be on the first, and Surrey, Proud Surrey, and members of the club and staff of the club, and we are walking in London Pride the day after. So it just worked as a perfect weekend. A lot of work, but a perfect weekend in that regard. So we can't complain.
You certainly can't. Again, perfect timing, isn't it, I suppose, with the game on the Friday and then the Pride March on the Saturday. No, it's absolutely fantastic, Paul. And just one final thing, I suppose, before we look into the future. How do people join Proud Surrey as a supporters group? Is there a particular method of, you know, entering and joining
via,
in?
You can email us info@proudsurrey.com, or you can Instagram. We're on there. We're on Twitter. So Instagram, Proud Surrey. Twitter, we're on Proud Surrey as well. Drop us a line and you can join us by all means. We'd love to. It is free to join. To join Proud Surrey, obviously there is a membership with Surrey, but that is by the by. You can come, you can join Proud Surrey and buy a ticket on the day. That's fine, however you want to do that. But that's how you do it. And we're looking to expand, we're looking to get bigger. We started off with 4 members, we're now at 25. We've got enough for a team now, but we want to get bigger and bigger and bigger. That's the plan.
Absolutely, Paul. Absolutely. And talking of the future, then I suppose just to wrap up today's segment, I thoroughly enjoyed it, I have to say, but what does the future hold for Proud Surrey? You mentioned there the expansion going from 4 initial members to now 25. I'm guessing that further expansion is on the horizon as a supporters group, but in terms of any more events, any more collaborations planned, what can we expect from Proud Surrey heading into the rest of 2022?
Well, we are working with another group in order to set up an England LGBTQ supporters group, which is something that is in the process of happening. England and Wales, I should say, but people from Scotland. We have one, Ewan, on the committee. He's Scottish as well, but we don't hold that against him. It's all fine. It's all lovely. The idea is to expand, to have more members, to make the Oval more of a safe space. One of the things we have at the Oval, since Steve Elworthy has just come in, one of the things we're working on is be a good neighbour. Now, one of the neighbours we have at the Oval is Vauxhall, one of the biggest gay communities in the whole of London, if not the UK. And we want to invite that side to come through. We want to invite that. We want to be a good neighbour, as well as a friend and an ally. We're noticing more and more that we're having more LGBTQ supporters come through and tentatively putting the toe in the water and then meeting us and coming to the games. And again, the Oval is a lovely place. I am biased, I'm not going to lie, but it's a lovely place to be and it is a very welcoming place. So we're hoping to expand, and the more the merrier. That's what we're hoping to do.
Well, Paul, it goes without saying, but of course, us lot here at the County Cricket Podcast, wishing both yourself and Proud Surrey all the best of luck heading into the future, as well as Surrey County Cricket Club. It's been quite the summer again. We're not going to get into that. Otherwise, we'll be here for another hour. But yeah, just one final thing, Paul, really, just anything to close up on. You mentioned the social media. Just can you give us those one more time for those who do want to follow Proud Surrey on Twitter?
Yeah, sure. So if you follow us on Twitter, so type into Proud Surrey into Twitter. On Instagram, Proud Surrey. We are on Facebook as well, I believe, if you want to find us that way as well. Or if you find yourself at the club, come to reception. One of us will be there. Also, the hashtag Proud Surrey is going to be used during the game on Friday, as well as All Our Pride, which is the London Pride hashtag as well. So if you happen to find yourself on social media, hashtag Proud Surrey or Proud Surrey, you'll find us one way or the other. And we've got a website as well, www.proudsurrey.com.
Well, fantastic. And once again, a massive thank you to Paul Mooney and Proud Surrey for agreeing to do that interview this week. It was an absolute pleasure to have a chat, to be honest, about all things county cricket with them. And of course, if you are in the area on Friday, please feel free to go down to the Oval, support them, support the cause. And of course, you can find the links to their social media channels using the links in the description. But Kieran, before we end today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast and say our goodbyes then, let's have a look at the table for the South Group heading into the last round of fixtures. So at the top of the South on 19 points, a Surrey County Cricket Club. In second on 16 points, a Somerset. In third are the Essex Eagles on 15 points. In fourth are the Hampshire Hawks on 14 points. In fifth are Gloucestershire, still in the mix, on 12 points. In sixth are Glamorgan on 10 points. In seventh and eighth, respectively, are the Sussex Sharks and Middlesex, both on 8 points apiece. And in ninth and bottom place are the defending champions, the Kent Spitfires, on 6 points. So there we have it. The South Group is tantalisingly poised heading into this last round of fixtures. It really is. Gloucestershire versus Hampshire. That little battle between those two for that final spot is going to be absolutely blockbuster, to say the least. It'll be interesting to see which one does emerge on top between those two counties. But Kieran, that is essentially it for today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast. And if I may say so myself, a very impressive podcast debut, to say the least. I'll put it up there with Chris Benjamin's 60-odd against Northants in 2021. Made an instant impression on the cricket connoisseur. So thank you very much for joining me here on the pod today. And just before we say our final goodbyes, mate, do you have anything to plug or promote? Any social media channels, websites, anything like that?
Just go follow me on Twitter. Every now and then I tweet decent cricket opinions, or maybe not. Find out.
Well, there you go, folks. If you want to go and follow Kieran on social media, again, we will leave the links of those in the podcast description below, along with basically everything you need from us here at TCCP. We've got the Cricket Draft Fantasy League. We've got our social media. We've got the Bear Cricket link. We've got the Manscaped link. Absolutely everything you need is found in the podcast description below. So please feel free to visit those links as and when you want to. But that is it from us two here at the County Cricket Podcast for tonight's episode. To each and every single one of you wonderful listeners, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.